I want to look at two uses of a couple of these statistics that we just looked at. A lot of the time, we're going to be really interested in whether or not our data are normally distributed. Because if our data are normally distributed, we're going to be more interested in using parametric models. If they're not normally distributed, we're going to be more interested in using non-parametric models. And there's a couple of different approaches. If we're trying to test to see if our data have a univariate normal distribution, one use of the goodness of fit chi-square and related univariate tests is to determine if the data are distributed as a specific distribution, most often normally distributed. It can be applied to ask about any known distribution using the same procedure. We're going to use normal distribution as an example because it's what we care about more. Well, here's a whole bunch of normal distributions. All of these are normal distributions that have different means and different standard deviations. But no matter what the mean and the standard deviation, a normal distribution is defined by symmetry and proportional distribution. If a data set is normally distributed, 34.13% of the cases fall between the mean and one standard deviation below the mean. That's what I mean by proportional distribution. And 2.4% fall between positive 2 and positive 3 standard deviations. Okay? It's not defined by the shape, because there's all these different shapes that are all normal, just based on where the center and the spread are. It's based on proportional distribution. So using this idea, we can use a goodness of fit chi-square to test if the frequencies in segments of the distribution have the right proportions. That's all we have to do. So here we might use a k equals 6 goodness of fit chi-square with the expected frequencies based on the 2.4, 13.59, 34.13, whatever our sample size is, we apply those percentages to get expected frequencies, compare it to the obtained frequencies, decide whether or not the data are distributed as a normal distribution. Okay? Now, the chi-square is actually a little light in terms of power. There are several competing statistics out there, all of which are an improvement on. Okay, and the one that you picked to do is one of those. It's essentially a glorified version of this. Nice, I glorified it. I'm not trying to insult it. It's a great little model. But really, it is what it is. It's a spruced up version of this simple idea. Kolmogorov Smirnov. And no, it's not named after a vodka. The vodka is named after that person's family. Not him, but his family. And given the amount of really cool stuff he came up with over the year, I wouldn't be surprised if he celebrated with a little of it once in a while. He was one of the finest of the early Russian statisticians. Here's another version. T-tests. As we'll talk about in more detail later, all that a t-test is an estimate over the standard error of that estimate. What's my best guess by how much am I likely to be wrong? That ratio gives you a thing called t, under a whole bunch of assumptions that we'll talk about. Well, a normal distribution has a skewness of 0 and a kurtosis of 0. Our favorite null value in the whole world for significance tests, right? None. So all we have to do is test skewness with a t-test. We put the skewness over the standard error of the skewness, we get a t. If the t is significant, the skewness is more than 0. The usual approximation of the standard error of skewness is the square root of 6 divided by n. There are bigger, uglier formulas, way uglier formulas. And this isn't off by much. Kurtosis, same thing. If you use the minus 3 formula, 0 is normally distributed. So, kurtosis divided by the standard error of kurtosis gives us a t-test. The best, one of the good estimates of the standard error of kurtosis is just the square root of 24 over n. Both of these are more likely to find significant divergences from a normal distribution than that divergence is likely to distort the use of parametric statistics. In other words, That's why we have guidelines and rules of thumb about how to transform data that are skewed and kurtotic instead of working with significance tests. The significance tests gather power with sample size more than the statistics we're trying to protect lose robustness. And so this is another example of sending the Queen Mary out, sending a rowboat out to see if the waters are safe for the Queen Mary. You can have a significant skew and a significant kurtosis without screwing up the correlation that you're trying to run. This is what's going to lead us to one of our standard approaches, which is going to be to use both the parametric and the non-parametric statistics that are most comparable and hope for comparable results. That's how you quiet folks. It's much easier to quiet people by saying, you're both right, we get the same result, whether we go with parametric or non-parametric, than to say, we use this one because, and then launching into some theoretical diatribe about how half your audience is full of shit. Okay, whenever you can a priori appease people, what we used to call proactive ass coverage, if there are competing ways of analyzing the data, analyze it both ways. If you have the same answer, you're in there. If you don't get the same answer, then one of them probably is right and the other one probably is wrong, and it's worth your while, as well as a moral obligation, to figure out why the statistics gave you different answers. Okay? But as we go through these statistics, we'll talk about when you're likely to get what disagreement and what causes it.